Well, welcome again, and thank you, Tamara, and thank you, Holly, and thank you all of our music folks, everyone making worship possible this morning. We continue our series, In the Footsteps of Jesus, and we are looking at Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 11. I would say that most of the time when we look at the Gospels, we start on around Christmas time, and we do the birth narratives, and we sort of take a lot of the action, some of the teaching through the cross and the resurrection, and then what we do is we go backwards to take a deeper dive into some of the teaching of Jesus, and that's exactly what we're doing in the Gospel of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 21. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it over and give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he had said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in his branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into 60 pounds of flour until it worked all the way through the dough." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we're looking at, let Jesus lift you up from what weighs you down. Let Jesus lift you up from what weighs you down. Have you ever carried a heavy load for a long distance? Anyone besides myself? There's been a number of times, but one time in particular, this was some time ago, I went hiking in the Grand Canyon, and I was going camping for 4 or 5 days with a friend, and the hike was to Havasu Falls, okay? And you have to start out, well, it's still dark out, and hike half a day or more to Havasu Falls, and you have to have enough equipment on, so a lot of equipment, all kinds of signs posted there to stay hydrated. So you have to have, you know, at least 4 good-sized bottles of water, if not more, sometimes 6 or, you know, a camel pack, as they say. And we were going in July, because that was the only time I could go. Oh man, start out early in the morning, hydrated, and I gotta tell you, walking, and you don't really sweat, you can tell, because it just evaporates, right? You stay dry, but the water's just getting sucked out of your body. And of course, with this heavy backpack, big backpack, for hours, take a little bit of break. There's just a little bit of shade there near some of the canyon, small canyons, not the Grand Canyon, but a small kind of canyon thing as you wind through this narrow trail on the way to Havasu Falls, which is really one of the most spectacular places around the Grand Canyon, other than the canyon itself. And so, boy, I got to tell you, after hours and hours and hours of laboring with this backpack on, we finally arrived at the reservation, which is near Havasu Falls, and we're able to take him off and to have some water. And I can't tell you the relief of taking that backpack off. You just feel like, oh man, I can stand tall again. Well, whatever your scenario is, I invite that as a backdrop as we walk back into the story this morning. And thinking about, let Jesus lift you up from what weighs you down. And what happened was Jesus comes to worship on the Sabbath, and there is a woman, we're told, who'd been bent over from some kind of a disease or disorder for 18 years. Man, can you imagine that? So I just did, you know, hours of hiking in the canyon or on the way to the canyon, and I was bent over from that, and I think I walked like this for a little while. We're told that she's been bent over for 18 years. And she's to the side, and Jesus sees her, right? And Jesus prays for her and says, "Be released, be freed from this thing," and lifts her up. And immediately she's healed and is able to stand up, and she rejoices with God. So there's a lot of things in this passage as we walk through it this morning. The first thing is, course, this woman has been suffering from this for 18 years, bent over from the weight of the disease. And it isn't just a physical thing at that time. Remember that she would have been an outcast in the temple of this time, in God's temple, because she's handicapped, right? And so she's pushed to the side. She's a woman. And moreover, not just sort of pushed spiritually to the side, but emotionally. You can't imagine what all this is that she's going through. And so it's not just a physical deformity. It's also something she's wrestling with spiritually and emotionally and relationally. She is weighed down. She's bent over from the burdens of life. And I don't know where you are this morning, but many of us are burdened and bent over, even though we might not be physically bent or handicapped, right? I don't know what's weighing you down this morning. It might be the loss of a loved one. It might be an illness. It might be relationship difficulties. It might be financial or work-related. But many times we are burdened. We are bent over. And here's the thing. Jesus sees her. Jesus sees her and cares for her. Now, what happens when we see most people that maybe we care, but we can't really help? They become invisible, don't they? But not for Jesus. Jesus sees her. Jesus sees all that she's going through. And Jesus heals her physically, but I think also spiritually and relationally, right? In this beautiful moment, and says, "Be set free," and lifts her up. Man. And I think for all of us, that Jesus would come to us and whisper to us whatever burdens that are weighing us down today, that in God's house, that God wants to set us free and to lift us up and free us. Wow. And she rejoices. But not everybody rejoices. What about the religious leaders? Oh my gosh. So the religious leaders sees this and is indignant. And tells all the people, listen, there's six other days other than the Sabbath for you to come and get healed. Get healed then, right? Oh, man, what a sourpuss that guy is, right? So, and it's true, you weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath, right? And but haven't you ever met people that don't want good things to happen, don't like it when people rejoice? And be, how can you not be happy for this woman? Instead, fixates on sort of a religious minutia rule. And what does Jesus say? You hypocrites, because he knew there was more than one. You hypocrites, all of you, untie your ox or your donkey and lead him to water on the Sabbath. And why should not this daughter of Abraham be healed from what has weighed her down and bent her over for 18 years? Now there's a lot there, even though you might not realize. First of all, hypocrites, literally, was the word used for Greek actors at that time, right? And so they would wear these big masks, would have a built-in megaphone. So you people who put a mask on and want to be heard, want to be louder than you deserve to be, right? Not just back then. You know, some of us have been there from time to time, putting the mask on for worship, you know, want to be heard, whatever that is, right? Jesus says, you hypocrites, right? You posers, you people are pretenders, right? All of you will untie your ox or donkey and lead them to water. And this daughter of Abraham deserves that. By the way, to be called a daughter of Abraham was a very beautiful thing. You know, he's lifting her up spiritually, relationally, in front of everybody in that moment, a person who's been outcast. So this was the father of faith. You daughter of Abraham, who deserves to be healed and touched by God because God cares. But there's more here. Because I think in that little phrase that Jesus uses is the key to making your faith a blessing, not a burden. Let me say it again. In that phrase, in that little parable that Jesus uses is the key to making your faith, our faith, a blessing, not a burden. So the first thing is what Jesus says, you're going to untie, you're going to set free your ox or your donkey, to loose it, to untie, to set free. And that's what true faith does. It sets free. And some of us get all bound up with the rules. This was a nice rule, you know, but all focused on the rules rather than the relationship. All focused on the rules rather than the relationship with God. That you would not want this woman to be healed who's been an outcast who's been burdened, who's been bent over, and set her free from this thing. And sometimes we become more concerned about the rules, just like this religious leader. Maybe we're even well-meaning about it. We'll be so fixated on that we forget of the heart of faith that Jesus has come and paid the price that we might know of God's forgiveness and grace, and Jesus might lift us up from the sins and burdens that weigh us down. There's a great story that I love by Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, and he tells a story of Hans the Tailor. And Hans the Tailor was known far and wide as the greatest tailor in Denmark. And so this man saved up all his money in the countryside, took the train into the town to find Hans the Tailor, who never met before. And goes to Hans the Tailor, and he's going to stay there for a day or so in town and wait. And so Hans the Tailor measures the man, tells him to go wait, come back and get his suit another day. And so the man waits, comes back for the suit, and he goes there. Hans the Tailor has a suit ready, and the man tries it on, and it doesn't fit. He has to contort himself to get into the suit. He's all twisted and contorted in this suit that doesn't fit him. But because Hans the Tailor is so famous, he doesn't complain. Instead, he leaves, tells him it's great, gets back on the train, heads back to the countryside. Someone on the train looks at him and says, "Wow, that's a nice suit you have on." And the man said, "Well, Hans the Tailor made it for me." To which the other man replied, "Wow, I heard Hans the Tailor was a great tailor, but I never realized he could make a suit for someone as deformed as you." To which Kierkegaard replies in this parable, so it is with many of our faith. We contort ourselves to fit ourselves into something that we were never meant to fit into. Faith should set you free. Faith should set you free, not bind you up. Because God has come that you might be set free. Just even as Jesus set free this woman and lifted her up. And the second thing he says is that you will lead your ox or your donkey to water, to drink. And that's the second thing, the second key to faith that is a blessing rather than a burden. To refresh, that is what faith does when you're centered on Christ. Because Jesus is what? The living water. And the Holy Spirit is often depicted as water. But I got to tell you, on that hike to Havasu Falls, now we had water, had to space that out. But man, when I got to the falls, which is like pure crystal clear, if you've ever seen Havasu Falls, and drank from the water, it was so good. I didn't have to worry about conserving for the rest of the journey. It was just wonderful, you know. And frankly, then I dove in too. It was great, you know, swam next to this beautiful waterfall. And that's the way faith should be. Washes, frees, refreshes, and lifts us up. Man, today if you're weighed down by the burdens of life, mentally, physically, spiritually, relationally, whatever it is, Jesus wants to come and to set you free and to refresh you in a beautiful, beautiful baptism of the Holy Spirit in a new way. There's a wonderful story that Harriet Tubman shares, true story. Harriet Tubman was a great abolitionist in this country. First, she was a slave. She was set free, and she decided to dedicate her life to helping other slaves be set free in a dark chapter of our nation's history. And so her life could be threatened as well as those with her. And she records one time that she is leading a group of slaves to freedom, and they were being pursued by people who wanted to take them back, maybe harm them. And so they had to lay low in this swamp. And as they were laying low, fearful of their lives, she happened to see a white man that was just a little ways away in distance. And the white man caught her eye, and knowing that he was being watched as well, he subtly pointed to a barn and held up a key and put the key on the ground and left. Later in the dark of night, Harriet Tubman records that she went and she found the key, opened the door to the barn, and inside the barn was a huge thing of water with a note, "Refresh yourself for the journey. I wish I could do more." The man was a Quaker and living out his faith. Sometimes a drink of water can be everything. It nourishes our soul, sets someone free, And to set free is also to work for justice in our world, for fairness to the person next to us, the person across town or across the country, around the world. To set free and to refresh. Oh, powerful, powerful images, I think. And don't you love this scripture that Peter writes, right? Peter, by the way, you know, has had his moment of humility. Remember, he denied Christ not once, but three times, even after the Lord warned him. But Jesus came to lift him up and to restore him and to confirm and restore his ministry. And Peter writes this to the church. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that God may lift you up in due time. That God may lift you up in due time. And I love this too. Cast all your anxiety or cares, can be translated either way, on him, for he cares for you. Cast all your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. And what did Jesus say? Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light, right? And my yoke is easy. Because we share the yoke with Jesus. Because Jesus is shouldering the bulk of the burden for us. Let Jesus lift you up from what weighs you down. Man, in all of our hearts and lives today, what is weighing you down? What is pressing you down for the moment that has you pinned in all of life? Jesus, I think, in this moment would encourage us to allow God to lift the burden, to heal us, to set us free, to lift us up, and to refresh us. And then Jesus tells two very short parables that are easy to overlook. And it's important to take them in this context. The first is the mustard seed parable, right? Jesus says, what can the kingdom of God be compared to? Well, it's like a mustard seed, the smallest, tiniest of seeds, but yet when the gardener plants it, it grows up, become the biggest tree in the garden, and the birds perch in its branches. So faith is supposed to grow, not stay stagnant. Faith is supposed to grow, not stay stagnant. Well, if you're set free and you're refreshed by the water of the Holy Spirit, your faith will grow, right? And what else? The birds will rest in your branches to serve, to serve. God has set you free to grow and to serve. God has set you free to grow and to serve. And unless you miss that one, Jesus tells another one. He says immediately after this, what is the kingdom of God like? Well, the kingdom of God is like a woman who has 60 pounds of flour and kneads them with yeast, and he kind of leaves it there. Well, what does yeast do? Yeast makes the bread grow, right? Have you ever done that? And what else that's not said? It's implied, though. How much flour did this woman have? 60 pounds. Have you ever used 60 pounds of flour? I have not. Never in my life have I ever used 60 pounds of flour. Not even when I cook pancakes for Wednesday night. Okay? Not 60 pounds, maybe 2 pounds. I don't know, even a pound. Wow. 60 pounds of flour. Now, I don't know what she's doing, 60 pounds of flour, but I tell you this. She's not eating all the bread herself. She's taking the bread to the neighbors, to those in the hospital, to those in the nursing home. She can take cinnamon buns to the pastor. Just kidding. I don't need 60 more pounds. So she can take cinnamon buns down there to the prison folks. She's going to take cinnamon buns to the hospital, to the nursing home. She's going to serve. She is going to serve others. To grow and to serve. Today, wherever you are in your faith life, and you know, we're probably both, all of us, a little bit on both sides of that, aren't we? Aren't we, if we're really honest with ourselves? Because all of us, you know, sometimes we grow up in the church and we got our own little set of favorite rules that we like, right? And sometimes we look down at people that aren't in the center of things. Maybe they're, you know, hurt or deformed or weighed down physically, mentally, spiritually, relationally. They're to the side. They're sometimes invisible to us, and we're about our business, and we don't like it when anybody wrestles with our, you know, our set of favorite things. But we're also on the side of things, as Jesus whispered to us, let him be free. We're also the woman who is weighed down by the burdens and cares of life. Maybe it's a physical deformity. Maybe it's relational stuff. Maybe it's just the burdens of work, and age, and life, and relationships, and everything. It weighs us down. We come to worship. Jesus sees us. Jesus sees the hurt that we have. Jesus sees us. Jesus sees our heart. And Jesus cares. And Jesus says, be set free and lifts us up. Whatever is weighing you down today, hear the words of Jesus to be set free. And then for all of us, how do we let our faith be a blessing, not a burden, not just for us, but for everyone? Well, set free. Set others free. Free from the burdens and cares of life, free from the impediments or injustices of the world. Work to loosen and to set free and to refresh, to nourish. Water does wonders. It's simple, but it's the essence of life. Then to grow and to serve. To grow and to serve and to be a blessing for others. Amen? Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for your word that comes to us with life-giving love and instructions for life. So Lord, help us to listen to the whisper of your Holy Spirit and your word this morning, and help us to realize that you care about the burdens that weigh us down, and you want to lift us up through the power of the Holy Spirit to set us free and to refresh us, Lord, that we might grow and be a blessing to others. We pray this will be exactly the case. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.